This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, October the 1st. Major League Baseball playoffs are underway. NHL preseason is underway, which means the Wings are on ice. NBA preseason begins on Monday as the Pistons head down to Memphis. Lions are 3-1. High school football is on to week 6. What a time to be alive, you know? A lot to get to tonight. We're going to be pretty baseball heavy on this show. We're going to go around the horn with the MLB playoffs underway and talk about the favorites to advance out of the wild card rounds, get on to the divisional winners, and then who's going to win the pennant in each league. And we'll also make a World Series selections. Cooper Schoenberg from Indiana University and Carter Lutz from the University of Miami will be on the show to break that down. We're also going to dive into the recent announcement made by Major League Baseball about the automated ball strike system, which will be implemented throughout the game beginning next season. So we found that out toward the end of the regular season that it would, in fact, come into play for next year. Now, we've seen it throughout the minor leagues, so it's not brand new. And if you remember, we saw it at this year's All-Star game as well. And the players seemed to like it. Obviously, the competition committee liked it. They voted in favor of pushing that through. So we'll get more into that in the next segment. So when you start hearing people talk about robo-umps and things of that nature, the role of the catcher, you know, framing is still going to be vitally important. We saw PitchCom rolled out a couple of seasons ago. That was a newer adaptation to, you know, guys putting the fingers down the way we always knew it in the past. And obviously PitchCom has come a long way, and that seems to be universally approved by most. And now you've got the ABS system again, where just on those questionable calls, they want it to be nearly instantaneous. So you're not going to muddy up the game, you know, and take a bunch of time away from the clock on borderline calls, but they want to get as close to 100% accuracy on balls and strikes. So it's interesting. We'll dive into that topic because that is coming to baseball, whether you're ready or not, beginning next season. We'll also preview Friday night's high school football matchup between Lapeer and Grand Blanc. That'll be coming up a little bit later in the hour. But we do want to start with baseball because in a month from now, the World Series will be upon us. And Aiden Novak, who's an aspiring sportscaster, he's been in the sportscaster program since his high school days at Lake Orion High School. And he had a project of identifying some of the villains in Major League Baseball. So here is Aiden Novak. Again, this is just his commentary, kind of fun, where he lays out his criteria and who he sees as the current villains in MLB.
A sports villain is a player who becomes famous for breaking rules, showing off, or dominating in a way that makes fans love to hate them. Whether they cheat, trash talk, or just win too much, they feed off the boos and always stay in the spotlight. This goes for any sport, but baseball sure has its fair share of players who wore the black hat. One player that sticks out to me and many other people is Barry Bonds, a jaw-dropping hitter with a prickly attitude and a big asterisk due to steroids. He made outfielders look like little leaguers just watching the ball fly over their heads. And even though his home run record is tainted due to using PEDs, I still believe that he's the best hitter that baseball has ever seen. It takes an immense amount of talent to hit a baseball as consistently as he did, and the steroids only help so much. But another player that stands out to me is more recent and, of course, has controversy stemming from the 2017 Houston Astros World Series team. That's none other than Jose Altuve. Altuve has always been a flashy defender with great speed and a flair for the dramatic. And let's just say he always gives the crowd a buzz whenever he hits a home run. Holding that jersey right when he walked across home plate to win the ALCS for the Astros in 2017 just sparked controversy all around the league for Jose Altuve. One last player is even more recent that sticks out to me, and of course, he's a San Diego Padres superstar, Fernando Tatis Jr. Tatis was supposed to be baseball's next superstar, lightning fast, smooth in the field, and capable of jaw-dropping home runs. However, his abuse of steroids a couple years ago that got him suspended was really what tainted his reputation. Now every home run comes with an extra long stare, every stolen base with a little extra flair, and every team just remembers everything that Tatis has ever done.
All right, that was Aiden Novak. Again, going with Barry Bonds, Jose Altuve, and Fernando Tatis Jr. as who he feels are villains in the game of baseball. Entertaining, for sure. We're going to continue talking baseball, and we are talking new rule adjustment, new rule that's going to be implemented heading into the 2026 season, and that is the implementation of the ABS. That's automated ball strike system. So sometimes you'll hear people talk about robo umps and you might get a little leery and say, wait a sec. You're still going to have plate umpires in Major League Baseball. But what the ABS system does is basically going to allow teams 2 challenges per game on questionable calls that are in or around the strike zone. So they want to clean it up, use a similar technology to what they do in tennis with that Hawkeye technology. Is it flawed? Yeah, to some degree, because there's a depth to a strike zone as opposed to just the horizontal range and the vertical range. But we've seen it. We saw it at the All-Star game this year. We saw it throughout the minor leagues. And effectively, each team, just like you have a challenge system that's in play now on some certain questionable calls where you say, hey, we want to take a look at it. They're going to do this now with the automated ball strike system. And so the way they'll do that is that you'll see the batter tap the top of his head. The umpires, they'll take a quick look at it. It's a strike. It's a ball. Anyway, that's the gist of what we're getting into. I want to bring in 2 special guests on the program today. You know them as Cooper and Carter, and we know them as Cooper and Carter. Cooper Schoenberg from University of Indiana. Is it IU? Indiana U?
Go Hoosiers. Do it.
And Carter Lutz from the University of Miami. Not Miami U. The U.
Best team in the country.
Well, that's debatable. Always good to have you guys on and always good to talk baseball with you. So we found out about a week ago that Major League Baseball was going to implement the ABS system. Initial thoughts on it. Do you like it? Do you not? Cooper?
Me personally, I absolutely love it. I really do. The one thing that I will argue against is, you know, there needs to be kind of like that human error. I think that's what makes baseball, calling a ball or a strike, you know, a strike that should have been a ball that should have been a strike. Now, obviously, evolution is a thing, and you already alluded to it. Hawkeye in tennis, I think, is genius, and we're starting to see it in the NFL where, you know, there's not the chain game. You go right to it. You see if it's a first down or if it's not. You know, I think that's worked great. You talk about the depth of a strike zone, a little different in terms of a parallel line like there is on the court in tennis and horizontal line for a first down in football. However, I think the perfect example was in that All-Star game with our very own Tarek Skubal. You know, he sees that it was obviously a strike, tips the cap, go to the review, clear strike. You know, I get absolutely fired up and hate it when my team gets a strike that's called a ball or, you know, vice versa. So I think it's going to be really good and it's only going to get better. They're only going to make improvements to the depth and updates and stuff like that.
Carter.
How about that answer from Cooper?
Come on, just
locked in, dialed in.
ABS, abs.
I'll say one thing. I think it's happening whether we like it or not. With the technology, Cooper said, you know, the NFL has that chip now, no more chain gang. So it's happening. How's it going to go down? I don't know. What I do know is in that Guardians Tigers game, the home plate umpire missed a call 2 inches in front of his face. So I'm all for going electronic and seeing what happens. And one thing I'm going to do right now is trust Major League Baseball because ratings are up double digits. They had a great year. And as someone who's been as invested in baseball this particular summer more than, you know, any summer I ever have been, I think the game's in a great spot. As I said, I'm going to trust them. They've implemented, obviously, the pitch clock and bigger bases and whatnot and keep doing their thing, I guess.
Yeah, look, it's a good point. I think one thing to keep in mind is that it's the only people that are going to be able to institute the challenge. Well, we see it in the NFL, right? With the red flag, right? The guy has got the hanky tucked into the belt and, you know, the head coach can challenge a call or challenge the spot of the football, whatever. In baseball, it's going to be the hitters, the pitchers, the catchers. Those are the only ones that are going to be able to call for this challenge. I will say this, and I think I have a soft spot for umpires. I think it's a fascinating profession. I think in baseball more than any other sport, your love for the game and all that goes into getting those plays right on a bang, bang. Big league umpires, according to ump scorecards, as it currently states, 94% of the time they get the calls right. 94% of the time.
I'm shocked to hear that.
Right? But think in terms of, like, I'm a traditionalist. And the reason that I love baseball is because it is imperfect. It's imperfectly perfect. So we have made modifications over the years. But does it need to be 100% accurate, right? Or does the human element kind of add to the mystique, the intrigue, the allure of what makes baseball the way it is? When you look back at the umpire and you're like, how could you call that blue? You know, come on up. I mean, that to me, like that's part of the game. And the more we kind of distance ourselves from that and then say 100% of the time it's accurate, we like it in our other sports, right? Obviously in football, you brought it up, Coop. Like, you know, I used to love the chain gang. Like I love when it was like, bring out the chains and slide that sheet of paper in there and tell me if it's a first down or not. Like that's a traditionalist approach. Are we getting to a point where we want all of our sports to be scientific now, where it's like, well, this is it. And then there's no margin for human error.
Yeah, I think it's a good point because it's obviously the direction we're going to. When we're talking about ABS individually, it does seem like something where they want to keep that element in because they're only going to be challenging it and they're not going to be doing it all the time. So it's something that I feel like they're thinking about. And obviously baseball is America's pastime. They want to keep it the same game. It's a very traditionalist. It's the American sport. So yes. I'm sure they think about that, but you made a lot of good points there.
One other thing I'll say, what we've seen some of the rule changes over the years, which again, like anything in life, we end up getting closer to the middle, or we end up saying, oh yeah, I remember how it used to be. Like, remember when they didn't have a pitch clock? Remember when they didn't have enlarged bases? Or when you used to have managers coming out of the dugout and getting run on a routine basis, right? That was part of the allure of the game. They've cleaned that up. So I think over time, you know, it starts to make sense. I think the more you talk to younger players in the game, where if you're a young player coming up, say like a Kevin McGonigal next year or a Max Clark, and you've had the ABS system in the minor leagues and you've been able to challenge certain calls, and if you're laying off a pitch because of your approach and you're not getting rewarded for it because the umpire rings you up on a questionable call and you say, wait a sec, you were wrong. Let's take a look at it. Like I could see it from a player's perspective where I'm saying, no, traditionalists, it's okay to miss one or two. And then you're the guy at the plate and it's like, no, it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's not okay to miss calls. You know, it's important that we get it right every time.
I mean, I was just going to say really quick, it's one of those things where new things are implemented into the game. Not everything is going to stay the same way where it's like Armando Galarraga. He had a perfect game.
There you go. There you go.
What happened 15 years into the future, then AJ Hinch would be coming out. Yeah, we need that reviewed right now.
Great point, Coop.
Jim Joyce, boom, perfect game. Suck it, whatever. So I think it's just one of those things where anybody can complain about whatever, you know, even with this new ABS system being implemented, people are going to be like, well, I like the way it was before. Well, the way it was before was Angel Hernandez calling a strike on a ball that was 15 feet outside the zone. It's like, you're always going to find something to complain about, but it's just the way technology is progressing. It's going to go hand in hand with the game, Carter.
And just to go back to my first point, like, let's just try it out, see how it goes. It was cool in the All-Star game. Like, they've done new things and it's worked. So I don't think it's the end all be all. It could be cool.
Yeah, I think the main thing is, you know, you preserve the pace, the rhythm of the game, the integrity of the game. You know, the 11-man competition committee, you come in, you vote on it, and it will be implemented. So we'll all get on board with it. But that will be coming to Major League Baseball in 2026. So something to look forward to, something to keep our eyes on because baseball continues to evolve. And to your point, Carter, viewership all across the board, wherever you were watching or listening, numbers are up. And it is America's pastime. It is our national pastime. It always will be. But I love the game. And if we're going to make a modification, I'll get on board. Okay. When we come back, you fellas ready? We're going to go around the horn. We're going to look at the Major League Baseball postseason pitcher. Who is the favorite to win the pennant in the American League and in the National League? Who are our World Series favorites? And how about the Detroit Tigers back in the postseason?
Ready, baby.
Let's go. All right. We're going to continue with the Major League Baseball theme here as we shift our focus onto the postseason. As we found out in the early game in the wild card series yesterday between the Tigers and Guardians, a small ball alive and well. And what a performance from Tarik Skubal. Season high in pitches, season high in strikeouts. In fact, the 14 strikeouts. Most by a Tigers pitcher, tied for the most by a Tigers pitcher in postseason history.
Career high.
Thank you.
Career high in strikeouts.
Carter Lutz, University of Miami, back on the show. Cooper Schoenberger also with us from Indiana University. But I want to talk the postseason as a whole. We go big picture here because obviously, you know, that's the series that everybody in Michigan has been watching and will be watching. Obviously, the Guardians and the Tigers. But, you know, across baseball, I think the Yankees, Red Sox and the other wild card. And then, of course, on the National League side, some good matchups to come as well. What do you say we get into it a little bit and maybe make some selections of who we might think will be there in the end 1 month from now in the World Series?
Carter, start us off. Give me something.
I mean, as much as we want to talk about the Tigers, I want to try to keep things objective. And we got a lot of great wild card matchups. It's my favorite week of the year, to be honest with you. I think it's tremendous. I think it's super underrated. Like, I put it up there. Maybe it's because when I got to college and like I can pick my own schedule and I don't have to be watching under my desk in high school on my phone, I'm enjoying it. It's fun to have day baseball and playoff baseball with NFL and whatnot. I'm looking at a team like the Mariners because to me, they came out in the trade deadline. They were super aggressive and everyone's talking about the Mariners. They got Suarez, they got Naylor, they got a couple other pieces. Those were big moves. And at the end of the day, their lineup was deep. They have six guys that I think, you know, are serious players. And then they kind of went under the radar. But it's just all about if one, two, three guys get hot in that lineup. And as I said, they're so deep. They're very fascinating to me. I think the books have them as the favorite right now in the AL. But yeah, I don't think they're being talked about enough. And their pitching is obviously great. I think that goes without saying.
Yeah, well, Cal Raleigh's having an unbelievable year. MVP type numbers were it not for the season that Aaron Judge has put together. Seattle's the 2 seed in the American League. Toronto's the 1 seed. So they have buys. So they're not playing in the wild card round. I still think the Yankees are going to be a tough team. We'll get into that. Coop, who do you like wild card round? Let me just ask you. I mean, I already know what you're going to say for Tigers guards, but who do you think advances? Boston, New York?
Yeah, so obviously Tigers are going to win the entire thing, but
you know, why ease into it?
Get out ahead of it.
Between this Boston Yankee series, which is absolutely awesome, I really do love the Red Sox on the road. Now, Crochet has been a little shaky in his past couple of starts, but on a new team, first time postseason baseball, I love him to go out firing. And I think they crack Fried a little bit tonight. I like the guys that they have batting. Obviously, we just saw them as the Tigers played their last series against the Red Sox. But Bregman, who's a great vet to have. Romy Gonzalez, who has been phenomenal all season, high batting average. Obviously, Duren and all these types of guys, they're just going to need to turn it on. And I think they can at the right time. I'm going to botch his name. I can't even say I know it. I believe he's from Japan. He absolutely
Yoshida.
Crushed. Yes, Yoshida. And he absolutely crushed the Tigers last series. It's just those players where you can get runners on and get them in scoring position, bat them in, unlike the Tigers. That's another problem for another time. I think if Boston is able to do that, you build a lead going into the eighth or ninth inning, and then you get the Cuban missile or Aroldis Chapman going. That is such a tough nut to crack. I really like them to go far. And to kind of give a little prediction, if it's not the Tigers and I want to be a little different, because obviously I really like the Mariners and want to say them, I think this Red Sox team could make a sneaky, sneaky run.
I think it's a fascinating point. It kind of puts things into perspective for me for what the MLB playoffs are. And you have this season where there's so many ups and downs. It's just bizarre. And we just saw with the Tigers, with the slump they just had. Like, the Red Sox can get so feisty and they can just get so hot. And the pitching is a question mark. But if you just kind of put a couple pieces together for 3 games, 2 games, you move on. Another 2 games. Okay. It's just like, you build off of wins and a couple guys get hot and guys who shouldn't be hitting start to hit. And the Red Sox just have pieces and they're missing Roman Anthony right now. I mean, they picked up Nathaniel Lelick, which I like, just like little things like that. There's sneaky moves that are made that fly under the radar and then they pop out here.
They have good vets. I mean, Lowe has been great. Trevor Story's been great. And then matched up against the Yankees. I mean, once he gets to inning 7, 8, 9, I mean, Fernando Cruz, what are you going to do? Nothing. What's Mark Leiter Jr. going to do? Nothing, right? If they can get the bats going, I like him in that one.
What does Johnny think about the Yanks?
So I'm going the other way. I really like New York advancing. And not just because of Aaron Judge, but I will say, I look back at the mystique of like the Yankee mystique and not so much of the modern day player. However, I was in the ballpark the day that Aaron Judge passed Joe DiMaggio for 4th on the all-time home run list. And I remember sitting there, you know, it was always Ruth, Mantle, Gehrig, DiMaggio, and then Judge comes into the frame and it's like, holy cow. And you look at his season as a whole, like this year, he wins a batting title, had the highest average in baseball at .331, highest OBP, highest slug, highest OPS. I think he's going to win the MVP again. And I just feel like that team, after falling short last year against the Dodgers, I just feel like the way that they're put together, I know what you said about Boston. I think that's why it's going to be a compelling series. I just feel like New York has enough pieces. And I do feel like, yeah, they've got 27 world championships, but they haven't had a lot in the last 2 decades. that I think they're going to have an opportunity this season to do something special. Now, last year, the Tigers were a win away from playing New York in the American League Championship Series. We'll see how it all shakes out this year, because I do think the teams like, you know, Seattle, Toronto, the way Toronto played in the month of August, September, it's hard to handicap, but that's the beauty of it. And I'll say one thing about the Tigers, because again, the game one was special. You don't apologize for 87 wins. So whatever it takes to get to the postseason, I know you guys understand that. And I know most of the listeners understand that too. It doesn't matter how you get there. You just get there. And then the way the Guardians have been playing, like if you look at during their run when they got hot at the end, and I give them all the credit in the world, but in baseball that is so tough to handicap, you need the breaks to go your way. And they got almost every break going their way. Even the night that they clinched, you know, hit by a pitch, walk off. I mean, you're just like, wait, what? And then, you know, nearly in game one where it's like, you know, you almost get Ramirez at first base. Next thing you know, he's standing on third, nobody down. You're like, wait, what? How did that happen again? So typically over the course of a season, water finds its level. And when you get to a postseason, such a short enough window, it's like you just need to be playing hot at the right time. So to your point, a best of three in a wild card, that's different than a best of five in a division, which is different from a best of seven in the championship and then World Series. Just got to be playing your best baseball at the right time. And there's no reason to believe that the Tigers, who had an unbelievable 5 months of the year, can't return to form and be that good again.
It's like we talk about the Red Sox, and I'm thinking the best case scenario for them, and that's firepower, and that's home runs and everything, and just driving in guys. But the Tigers are, they don't have that type of firepower. They do with Tarek Skubal, but we laid down five sacrifice bunts the whole season, and then they get the biggest run of the season from it. It's how they do it. And we're not surprised by it anymore at all. Like, it's what we expect. Like, they get in these situations late in games, and like, you kind of know what they're going to do.
That's the beauty in like always having that in your hip pocket. It's like, well, we don't, you know, hey, we don't blow all year.
Like, we're only down two. Like, they're all, like, they're never getting blown out, and they like feel like they always have a game plan almost.
So, Toronto and Seattle, they have byes in the first round. In the National League, Brewers and Phillies, the 1 and 2 seeds. Dodgers against the Reds is the 3-6. Cubs, Padres, the 4-5. Who do you like to represent the National League in the postseason?
You know, between the Cubs and the Padres, the Cubs have such a good batting lineup with Tucker and Suzuki and Bush and Horner and PCA and Swanson. I can go on and on. And Wrigley is a rowdy place. Unfortunately, their dreams are going to get crushed by the San Diego Padres. Shout out to Anchorman. I love what they have cooking. Pivetta, who's on the bump as we speak, is going to and is pitching an absolute gem. And then at, you know, the trade deadline, they go and just revamp that bullpen where you already have Suarez, who's phenomenal, but then you get the heavy thrower, the hot thrower, Mason Miller, to shut the door when you need it most in the eighth and ninth inning. What I talked about with Yoshida in Boston can be said, but even better and louder with a guy like Luis Arraez, who's never striking out, always getting on base. Tatis, Machado, Cronenworth, their team is built for October.
How about the bats they got at the deadline? O'Hearn.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I personally think they're a phenomenal team. And as good as I think the Dodgers are, I think it's going to come down to one of those two teams. I don't think it's the Phillies, and the Dodgers might have to step off a little bit. If I'm jumping way ahead in the timeline, just given my prediction, if it's not the Tigers in the AL, Carter, I am going to agree with you. It is the Mariners. And in the end, I'm going with the Padres. And that World Series matchup will determine who gets their first World Series championship victory.
Dig it.
That's fun, Cooper. I like that. That's fun.
Thank you.
Who do you like in the NL, Carter?
To me, the NL this whole season has been so unpredictable. And like, I thought the Mets were going to be like a serious team, and then they just fell apart. And the Phillies, once Wheeler gets hurt, I'm like, I'm not going to buy in on them. So I'm a little confused right now. I guess I'll kind of go for the Midwest team and say the Brewers. Yeah. I'll go with the Brewers. Great pitching, great management. Fun team. They kind of remind me of like Tigers a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think the Reds could maybe beat the Dodgers. I honestly believe it. They might be team of destiny. I'm just going to throw it out there. Just why not?
How about the fact you have three NL Central teams in the postseason, which is pretty cool.
That's fun.
With the Reds, Brewers, and Cubs. Yeah. All right. I'm going Tigers, Cubs. And you're not wrong. You're just different with your opinions. And I appreciate it. I do want to note that this segment is being recorded before the conclusion of all the wildcard round games that were played earlier today. Boys, appreciate having you on. As always, look forward to talking to you again. We have discussed plenty of Major League Baseball on the show today, and we are now going to shift our focus to football, more specifically, high school football. Halfway home, high school football season keeps chugging along. We are on to week six, and of course, Drive to the Game now in its second season on partnership between Sportscaster and WJR. Drive to the Game comes your way every Friday night here on these airwaves. And here to preview this week's matchup is our host, Giovanni Moscheri.
My name is Giovanni Moscheri. I am your host of Drive to the Game, where week six of the Michigan high school football season brings us to Grand Blanc High School as the Bobcats host their Saginaw Valley League South rivals in the Lapeer Lightning in a conference that is as top-heavy and as competitive as any other conference in the state. They got two top 10 teams battling out for the top of the division, that being Grand Blanc and Davidson. Lapeer's sitting there trying to play spoiler in the conference standings as well, and that is what is at stake for this Friday, where your pregame show will start at 6:50 exclusively here on sportscaster.com as well as our YouTube channel, before we kick things off at 7 o'clock to Chris Renwick and our student broadcasters as they take you throughout the game. And I'll be with you along with our sportscaster.com MVPs for halftime and post-game coverage as well. Hope you guys know the deal by this point in the season in week six, but for anybody new, I want to make sure that they're in the loop of it. So what do we got for the Bobcats against the Lightning in conference play? We'll get into that next. And we'll start things off with the Lapeer Lightning, a relatively young program compared to many of those that we have covered so far. Their history only dates back to 2014, but since then they've had a very successful history where they have made the playoffs in every year except one and have had a 500 or better record in all but one season in their history. Last 2 years, they have gone 5-5 at the 500 mark, but still, for a program in its only 11th season to have that level of consistent success, it is great to see, no doubt. How they have started this season, 0-2 is what they would begin the season with, a loss to St. Clair Shores, Lakeview, and Goodrich, before winning two of their next three games, a win against Saginaw in conference, as well as Flint Carmen Ainsworth, another conference win would get them back to 500, and unfortunately dropping their last game against Saginaw Heritage. So where they stand right now in the Saginaw Valley League South is they sit at third place, a 2-1 conference record and a 2-3 overall record behind a tie for first place, Davidson and Grand Blanc, 2-0 and 5-0 conference and overall. Those are some of the best teams in the state, and they have them in conference. We'll talk about Grand Blanc in just a second, but to stay on Lapeer, they are a very potent offensive team, and when given the opportunity to score, they will do so in large chunks. In their latest win on homecoming against Flint Carmen Ainsworth, 47 points were scored in their 47-28 victory. On that homecoming night, they would go up 13-0 within the first 6 minutes of play, but unfortunately, the tide has turned a little bit. 16-13 is what they would fall to before halftime's end. And to get back into this game and to get back into victory form, 21 unanswered points were scored. And that got them back. That's their second win in a row. That got them out of the 0-2 hole that they started with, back to 500, 2-2 at the time, in a game where head coach Anthony Merlo describes it as the longest game I think I've ever been a part of. The game went for 3.5 hours on homecoming, but they were able to get out of it in glorious winning fashion. Unfortunately, their latest game, like we mentioned, Saginaw Heritage, it was a 42-20 loss, but still, you could see that this team has that kind of characteristic, the offensive type, where the defense is where they need improvement. And some players to watch, and those that have stood out in the past two games, would be their junior quarterback, Cam Vanesek. Against Flint Carmen Ainsworth, he ran for 94 yards, passed for 160, and had three total touchdowns. And in their latest game against Heritage, 74 yards on the ground, 133 in the air, and three passing touchdowns to three different receivers. He don't care who catches it, as long as they make it to the end zone. He is also joined by junior running back Lincoln Hensel, who against Carmen Ainsworth, 150 yards on the ground and two touchdowns, and against Heritage, 116 yards. So they make a very potent offensive pair, both on the ground and in the air, and joined by senior wide receiver Will Fisher, one of the many experienced wide receivers they have on this roster. He had 8 catches for 76 yards and a rushing touchdown on homecoming, and then a receiving touchdown against Heritage. And there are many other players on the roster noteworthy, but those are the ones that have stood out, and one that you got to keep an eye on if you're tuning in for the Lapeer Lightning. And now let's take a look at the Grand Blanc Bobcats, number 7 in the state, according to the Detroit Free Press Week 5 Super 10 list, where they list the top 10 teams in the state. And that's number 7, regardless of division, also worthy of note. This season, as mentioned before, 2-0 in conference and 5-0 overall, and it is their first 5-0 start since 2021, where they made it to the state semifinals. Very telling for this team, as they are way beyond talented enough to make it back to that level. In some of their recent history, also worth noting, these teams have faced each other in the playoffs in the previous season. Opening round, Grand Blanc would take a victory over Lapeer, but this could be where we see on Friday night a preview of some of those earlier rounds in the playoffs, similar to what we saw for Roseville and Grosse Pointe South, where there it's pretty often that they meet in the playoffs. Grand Blanc and Lapeer could be a similar case. In last year, in 2024, they won the Saginaw Valley League South, as well as districts, with a win over the OAA Red Champion Oxford, 29-7, but in the following round in the state quarterfinals, the regional finals, they would fall to also OAA Red member Rochester Adams, 21-14. And in that game, that marked number 3 in games lost by 1 score. So attention is on the details for the Grand Blanc Bobcats this season, and they have shown to be able to pay attention to such details so far this season. Before we get into some of the players to watch, I want to shout out their Instagram page. I know from experience how hard social media can be, but Grand Blanc has one of the best Instagram pages that I've seen from high school football teams this season. Stony Creek's a real close second, but man, that is a fabulous page. So shout out to the Bobcats for great coverage of their own team. So players that stand out, players to watch, players you're going to be hearing very often for Grand Blanc is their senior quarterback, Jake Morrow. A 30-year starter, last year's first-team all-conference quarterback, passed for just under 2,500 yards and 24 touchdowns in the air, rushed for just under 950 yards and 10 touchdowns on the ground. He's been getting many, many Division I offers to be able to play at the next level, so this may not be the last season that we see of Jake Morrow. In addition to that, his running back, junior Jeremiah Coleman, also a teammate on last year's first team all-conference team, where he rushed for 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns in the previous season. And in their previous game, their win over Lansing Everett, 41-6, he was their offensive player of the week. 6 carries and a reception for an all-purpose 162 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's going to be getting the rock plenty in this game against the Lightning. And on the defensive side, junior defensive tackle Braylon Toynes, he might be in the backfield for this game, as last week he had 4 tackles for loss as well as a sack. And as their Instagram page describes, welcoming the offense to the backfield is Toynes' specialty. So it's going to end up being a fantastic game in Grand Blanc, where the kickoff is at 7 p.m. and the pregame show is just 10 minutes before at 6:50, exclusively on sportscaster.com as well as our YouTube channel. It's going to be great. It's going to be the Bobcats. It's going to be the Lightning in a fantastic Saginaw Valley League South contest. And we hope that you guys can join us here on sportscaster.com. My name is Giovanni Moscheri, and I will see you there.
I want to thank Giovanni. Also want to thank all of you for listening to Open Mic here on WJR. I want to thank all our guests who volunteered to come on the show today. Giovanni, who we just heard from, Carter Lutz and Cooper Schoenberg, who joined us to talk about the MLB postseason and also the new rule implementation coming to the game next season. And also Aiden Novak talking about the villains that he sees in Major League Baseball as it is. And if you know anybody, if you enjoy this show and you enjoy what it's all about, and you know somebody who might be interested in becoming a sportscaster at some point in time, you know, chase the dream. you can always go on to sportscaster.com and find out more information at sportscaster.com. Again, you can upload your own video content, have your own channel, and get your voice out there. And if you've got commentary on some topical things around sports, or if one day you want to put a headset on and call a game, sportscaster.com is the place to go. We always appreciate having you tune in every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 o'clock here on WJR. I'm Johnny Kane. Thanks for listening. And until next time, Godspeed.